Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome, welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. Thanks for joining us today. And if you just tuned in, you missed my conversation with Randy Singer. He's a novelist. He writes legal thrillers mostly. He's a pastor and a lawyer, and he's just a wonderful man of God. So go back and catch that podcast. We talked about his novel, Dead Lawyers Tell No Tales, is what that one is. And now, this hour, we have my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, joining us. We're talking about hope today, hope in marriage. And what do you do if you've lost hope in your marriage? Greg's got an amazing story to tell today, and just a lot of great information and encouragement for you, especially if you've lost hope in your marriage. Though I don't think he really needs an introduction. I'm going to give him a proper one, and then we're going to start taking your calls as well. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. He's the author of 11 books, including The DNA of Relationships, The DNA of Parent and Teen Relationships, and The Wholehearted Marriage. I actually think it's 12 books now, because Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage is another one in there. He and his wife, Erin, live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son Garrison. And you can find his author page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg, good to have you back today.
It is always good to be with my good friend, yeah. Susie the Larson.
Susie the Larson. No one's ever called me that before.
Well,
yeah. Well, you know, last time you were on, last time you were on, I received a number of emails saying, you got the band back together. So great. so fun. I love that we get to have you on two, three Wednesdays a month. It's wonderful. And we've got lots to catch up on, Greg. But I pitched before the hour started, just anybody who's got relationship questions, want to give that opportunity as well. So the phone lines are open, 877-933-2484. We've got Karen calling in, and she's got a question for you today. Karen, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Smalley. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Karen?
Well, I mean, and there, my question to you is, what do you do? I've been married about 20 years, and my husband has totally withdrawn from our marriage for the past, I'd say, 4 or 5 years. I mean, there's nothing other than just pass the butter, pass the this, you know, just like if you'd talk to, you know, anyone. Do you know what I'm saying? There's no...
Yeah.
You can't talk about money. You can't talk about anything. And he refuses to go to counseling. He refuses to talk about anything. And so what do you do?
Well, Karen, one, I'm so sorry. I know that there's almost nothing that I can think of that feels as bad as feeling lonely in your marriage. And here you got married... to be with your best friend, to be connected, to be known and to know and all those things. And I know that that's really, really hard. And what makes this so difficult is that you can't make him open up. And it sounds like that you've tried a lot, that you've offered, let's go to counseling, you've tried to have certain discussions. And so really it comes down to, what is it that you can continue to control? And, you know, for me, I would say the biggest thing that you can focus in on is what can I do to make the environment feel as safe as that you can make it within your home. Here's the reality: when I don't know what's going on for your husband, I don't know if he's feeling unsafe in the relationship. I don't know if he's just stressed out. I don't know if if it's part of his personality or he's feeling disconnected from you, so he's kind of withdrawn. I mean, I don't know what's going on. But the more and more that you can try to focus in on what can I do to create an environment that feels safe, knowing that oftentimes people will open when they feel safe. It's not a guarantee, but again, you can't pry his heart open. You can't make him do this. you can always look at the relationship and think, okay, what are some things that I can do for him that help a man to feel safe? And I think the more that you do those things, the there's an opportunity. If, you know, Karen, the bottom line, if it gets to a place to where he's really not responding at all, you may have to really employ tough love and just say, you know what, I'm not willing to live my life this way, and I've done everything I can. You're not giving me anything here to work with. I'm trying to help you to feel safe. That's not working, and I'm not willing to keep going forward. So you have to decide when that moment really is when have you reached a point to where you've got to set a real firm boundary with him.
And what would a firm boundary look like there, Greg?
Well, I think that at some point she's going to have to say, this isn't working for me. I'm unwilling to live my life this way. I love you, and I would walk to the ends of the earth to do whatever we need to have a marriage that both of us feel good about. Right now, I'm not willing to do this.
Yeah.
And therefore, she might have to separate from him and say, you know, we need counseling, and I'm not willing just to sit here and waste away if you're not willing to do anything. Sometimes a guy needs to be woken up.
Yeah.
And sometimes when the wife, you know, is – we used to talk about this on Everyday Relationships a lot, that we teach people how to treat us by what we tolerate. And so at some point, Karen, you're going to have to say, this is not okay. You may not tolerate me this way. We are married. I matter in this marriage, and right now this is unacceptable. So you might have to really do something extreme to get his attention.
You know, and that really is her fighting for a better marriage. We've got three Greg Smalley resources. I don't remember what they are. I'm hoping it's Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, because that's Karen. I think that book would help you so much, because her drawing some hard boundaries really is also communicating. Not only do I care about my heart, I care about your part of this equation. I care about the marriage, too. I mean, that's a loving step, isn't it?
It is. And what you're saying is, I'm fighting for our marriage by saying we're not just going to keep doing it this way for the rest of our life together.
Yeah.
It's just, that's not working out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the more I think about it, I think it's probably time.
Yeah.
To set that kind of a boundary and to say, I love you too much to allow this to continue to happen. Because, Karen, your heart is shutting down.
Right.
And I imagine there's going to come a point in time to where your heart's going to harden. And now all bets are off. And so that's why I would really encourage you to set that boundary.
Indeed.
Well, I've already said that, but he still doesn't even respond.
And you know what?
I just probably have to just leave, because even if I tell him I don't want to live like this, this is not right, this is not a Christian way to live, we're getting older, I don't want to live like this, and he still don't even open up. So what do you do?
Yeah, I like what you said. The only word that I would probably add in there, a tweak, is leave with a purpose. In other words, you're just not shutting down and leaving. Well, it's not working, I'm out of here. And I don't hear you saying that. I think really what you're trying to do is to say, I'm doing something to disrupt the system that we have going on. And so leaving and separating with purpose means that my end in mind is for us to reconcile, to have that marriage that we both love and enjoy. And that's the only thing that's acceptable to me.
Yeah.
And so I think if that's your mindset, then you're not just, you know, stepping out with your heart closed and you know, you guys will end up divorced later on down the road. I think you're leaving with purpose, and that's the key.
And like you said, Greg, if she doesn't take care of this sooner than later, her own heart will shut down, and then she'll
right.
Her heart will be shut, and she won't care when she leaves. So it sounds like Karen has the heart still for her husband. And so you're going to get
right.
A Greg Smalley resource. I don't know which one, but I'm hoping and praying it's the Fight Your Way. 877-933-2484. We've got two more calls, Greg, before we get to the whole topic of hope and marriage, but I feel like you're weaving it into these answers anyway, that there's sometimes hard decisions are called for to inspire hope again. And Joni is calling from Carrington, North Dakota. Is that right, Joni? Am I saying your name right?
Yes, it is.
Yes. What's going on today?
Well, I'm separated from my husband because he was too abusive.
Mm.
I got assault charges pending against him. And since we separated, he's committing all kinds of crime, and he's trying to pin it on me, including livestock releases around the two counties where my family has livestock, vandalism, He threatened to burn my vehicles, my shed, my home, and all this stuff if I don't drop the assault charges. And it's just getting worse. And everybody pushed me to file for a divorce, so I filed for a divorce to protect myself financially as well, because I've used up everything defending myself.
Yeah.
And I still love the man, but he needs some serious help.
You're right. And, I mean, there's no way around that.
This started with sexual abuse, and when I pushed the point where, you know, you're not going to touch me again unless that stops, and that was about a month of that, then he went to all other forms of abuse to the extreme.
You know, Joni, it sounds like you're doing exactly what you need to do, which is to protect yourself. And so you keep doing that. Your well-being matters here. He has no right to treat you that way. You don't deserve that. No one does. And so you've stood up for yourself. You are saying to yourself that, no, this isn't okay. I love him. I wish that we could be in a relationship, but not at the cost of you. And that's exactly what you need to do. It sounds like you've got some real wise counsel. They've given you some specifics as far as protecting yourself financially, and you're doing that. So I would make sure, one, that you stay absolutely safe, that him treating you with abuse is not okay, and you make sure that you are protected and you have the kind of support system that you need, who are able to give you good advice, who are able to love on you, to encourage you, to support you, and hopefully you have that through the church. You've got some good friends who are supporting, who can help you be safe. And I think as you do that, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I'm so sorry. I hate that for you. But you know what? That's what he was doing. That's not marriage. That's not being a husband. And you set the right boundary.
Yeah, may God protect you and bring some good people around you, Joni. We're going to grab one more call before the break. Carrie's calling in from Moorhead, has a question for you. Carrie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. So I've been divorced 8 years, separated. He left a year before that. And dating is horrible. And, I'm lonely. I don't want to be divorced. I want to have a partner. And the Bible says that until the other spouse dies, we're supposed to, you know, stay celibate and single. And that's difficult, you know. And I'm just wondering if you can address that situation, because I don't want to be divorced. I don't want to be single. You know, my life is better now that I am divorced, but it's really difficult.
Carrie, first of all, now the divorce happened because why? Maybe I missed that.
Okay, I didn't say why. He left.
Okay.
And then after he left, he told me he had been with other women while we were married, and told me I just needed to go away, and so I went away.
Okay, I hate that for you. I'm so sorry. One, you know, I imagine you're doing this, but don't allow the evil one to continue to write lies on your heart about that. I mean, hopefully you're really getting with the Lord and saying, God, he said this to me, but how do you see me? What's true about me? You know, as far as what I'd encourage you to do is to sit down with your pastor. There's some good books out there, Divorce and Remarriage. Just kind of Google that. And what you'll find is some good theological understanding of divorce and are you free to remarry? Because it to me, it sure sounds like that he's abandoned you, that he was unfaithful. And you know, the Bible, I think, makes it pretty clear that you had a biblical reason for that divorce. Mm-hmm. And thus, in my opinion, you absolutely would be free to remarry. But I would encourage you, one, ask around, get some good counsel on that, especially from your pastor, and make sure that you're praying that through with the Lord to make sure that that's consistent. But I would tell you that to me, it sounds like that you are free to pursue that relationship, because you're right. You don't want to be lonely, and I would just keep praying that God brings that person into your life, and make sure that what you're doing is you're evaluating my part of this failed marriage. I'm not putting any blame on you. I'm not suggesting you did anything wrong. I think one of the healthiest things that you can do is to go, what was my part in this? What was I responsible for? What am I learning? How am I growing? That's only going to prepare you better for whatever relationship that God's going to bring into your life. But so I would take that as the next step, is to really to talk to your pastor and make sure what I'm saying he agrees with.
Terry, thanks for that call. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dr. Greg Smalley about inspiring hope in marriage, especially if you've lost hope. If you've got a relationship question, he's here for that too. 877-933-2484. We will be right back.
If you're single and you're looking for a really godly relationship or a relationship focused on God and dating, how do you make it clear to other people that you're not just interested in a very normal, like, secular relationship?
Well, there's a question for you, Greg. And so this sounds like a young woman who's very interested in a serious, godly, faith-building relationship and not a normal relationship. I couldn't think of another word. You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to think, what
just
would the other
moving
word be?
Yeah, I couldn't think of it.
A good relationship or a bad relationship.
Exactly. What do you say?
You know, I don't know if there's a magic formula other than she knows what she wants and she's going to pursue that. I think that along the way, she's going to have plenty of opportunity to evaluate when she's starting to date or she's going out on dates, is this person, you know, in line with really what I'm looking for? I imagine she's going to give, this is a weird way to say this, but I would think that she's going to give off this scent in many ways of what she's looking for. And people are going to sense that. And those who are uninterested in that kind of relationship or wanting, you know, more of a hookup or whatever you'd call it, they're probably not going to be interested in her anyway. So
exactly.
I would say keep moving ahead. Don't compromise. You know what you want. And when you have opportunities for discussion, you will ask great questions. That would maybe be my advice. You keep asking a lot of questions. I think that's one of the best skills that we can develop in a relationship is just asking questions. I think the more she asks questions, she's going to keep discovering, is this guy, you know, fit that who she's wanting? And then be courageous enough to end a relationship when you know and you have a peace that this person's not at the same spot that I'm at.
And, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, before so many times. Be that person, too. Cultivate a deep, rich walk with the Lord. You know, cultivate a good work ethic. All the things you want in a spouse, you know, work on in yourself. And the other thing, too, is check out boundless.org, the Focus on the Family ministry that helps prepare you for marriage. Because Lisa Anderson often talks about how we have unrealistic expectations sometimes about the kind of person we want to marry. There's one thing to have a high standard. There's another to have a picture of a man with a guitar singing Kumbaya to you every night and leading you in Bible
that was
studies.
Aaron's image right there.
You know what I mean? And so just to have a realistic, a high standard, but a realistic picture of what's reasonable, what's not. And that's a great site, boundless.org. So, well, we got an onslaught of calls here at the beginning, so we didn't start in our typical way. I know, I love it too. And you chose a verse that I wanted, that was sort of the basis of what you want to talk about today. And I love this passage, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That is powerful. Talk about why you chose that verse.
Well, the reason is this past weekend, so on Saturday, God gave me an amazing opportunity to reconnect with how important hope is in our life. And to be honest, I know that intellectually. It's maybe been a little while since I've encountered a situation where I so desperately needed hope to continue. And the situation was my oldest daughter, Taylor, was home from college. And what she wanted to do, she wanted to, before she started the new semester, she wanted to hike here in Colorado, one of our 14ers. So that's a 14,000-foot peak mountain. And we've got 50-some of them here. And so she said, "Dad, I really want you to do that with me." And I went, "Why would I ever want to climb 14,000 feet? Let's just be honest, all right? Why?" But she really wanted to do this, and I thought, how hard could it really be? You know, we
That's
live
the
at 7,000 feet, and it's only a few more thousand feet. Come on, how hard could this be? So it was my 17-year-old's daughter on Saturday. And so we set off Friday night and spent the night and went to a place called Mount Elbert, which is the highest peak in Colorado, 14,433 feet. And there's a reason why I know that in great detail. So early Saturday morning, we got to this area to start to climb Mount Elbert. And we start at 7 in the morning. And, you know, we started climbing through these beautiful trees and the rivers. And we're crossing over little creeks. And we're laughing and playing. And the girls are asking me questions that they had never really asked me before. It's great. I mean, I'm in heaven. And it's going okay. You know, he stopped every once in a while, catch our breath. But then we made it above the tree line. So this is where, you know, that it's too high for the trees to continue growing. So then it was grass, but it was pretty grass. It looked like meadows. And we're following a little trail. And again, same thing, having a blast. I'm in shorts and, you know, I had a sweatshirt. I took that off. It was getting kind of hot. Well, all of a sudden, the higher we got, the temperature dropped to the point that it was probably 30 degrees, and it starts snowing.
Oh, my goodness.
But worse than that, the wind, Susie, I kid you not, was probably 50 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
So now you've got this sleety snow being blown in your face at 50 miles an hour. I have not the right clothes. So we keep going, and it's so miserable. And now we climb above even where the grass grows. Now it's just rock, and the clouds settle in. You can't see more than 10 feet in front of you. We have no idea where we are, where we're going. We're just following this stupid rock path. I'm freezing. Murphy decides that she's done. She didn't want to go on anymore. And, you know Murphy.
Yeah.
And she's a little strong-willed little thing. I love her. A lot of passion, but I tell you, when that girl don't want to do something. So she literally digs in on the trail and sits down and goes, "I'm done." And so her and Taylor then get in this big fight because Taylor wants to go to the top. She's competitive. And people are walking by looking at these two girls go at it, and I'm going, "Yeah, hi. I'm the
Dr.
Vice
Greg
President
Smalley.
Of Parenting at Focus on the Family. You know, here's how
nothing
you do
to see
it, right?"
Here. Nothing to see here. Keep moving.
it was disastrous. And we were done. And finally, I didn't know what to do. And I said, "Taylor, listen, you keep going," because I could tell Murphy wasn't budging. And so Taylor leaves, storms off. She's mad. And so, Murphy and I are talking. I'm like, "Yeah, I hate this too. And what a miserable way to spend your birthday." And all of a sudden, it was really cool. The cloud parted a little bit. And all of a sudden, I could see people. You know, up above, they're all kind of huddled together. And I went, "Oh," I said, "Hey, look, Murph, that's the top right there. There it is. Look at all those people." And so now Murphy's debating if that's true or not. But all of a sudden, someone comes down. So someone's already summited. And now they're walking down. And this is where hope comes in.
Okay, you have to stop. You have to stop because we have to take a break. And I want to hear every word of this story. So the clouds break. You see the top in sight. Wow. Greg's going to tell the rest of the story. So I'm not going to have the phone lines open until he finishes his story and talks about what it has to do with hope. I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley on talking about how to have hope and the importance of hope and how to really get hope again when your marriage has lost hope. Don't go away. More great conversation with Greg Smalley in just a moment. you're having a great afternoon. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So glad to have my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, joining me this hour. And we're talking about hope in marriage. And so before the break, Greg was talking about how he and two of his daughters decided to climb a mountain because it was Murphy's birthday and they wanted to go to, what do you call these? What did you call them?
14ers.
Because it's 14,000 elevation.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they're climbing. They're having a great time. It's a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden, the snow starts falling and the winds start blowing. And my producer writes on the board, why do these things seemingly only happen to Greg? But seriously.
Well, you tell Matt that I don't appreciate that.
Okay. And so Murphy plants it down because she doesn't want to go a step further. Taylor keeps going, and then the clouds break. So take it from there.
Yeah. So Murphy looks up, and you know, we're debating, is that a false summit? Are people just there? And I'm like, no, that's the top. And she doesn't believe me. Well, this guy starts coming down. And so when he gets to us, you know, I said, hey, well, where are we? We can't see anything. Are we anywhere near the top? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you are right there. It's just up maybe 15 more minutes of climbing, and you guys are there. And he high-fives us. You guys can do it. And it was amazing. Murphy reaches out her hand, and I grab it and haul her up, and we just start going. And we made it. We made it all the way to the top. And there Taylor was. Now, we couldn't see anything because the clouds were there, and so I assumed that it was probably a really gorgeous view, but just the fact that we made it, and it so caused me to understand, again, the power of hope. You know, had that guy not come down and given us some sort of hope, I don't think I would have ever gotten her to go. I'm not sure that I even would have continued. I was done. I was tired. I was sore. I couldn't see. I was freezing. You know, the wind was so strong. I mean, it was assault on every sense. It just, it was miserable. And yet, when he said, you can do it, I've come from there. It's awesome. Wait till you get up there. That's all we needed.
Wow.
And it just made me realize.
Picture. Wow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, think about it. So many times in our marriage, you know, even some of the callers that we've had today, you know, we get lost, we get worn out, we get exhausted, we lose sight, we can't see where we're going, we feel despair. And then when that sets in, boy, it just causes us to want to quit, because I think that's where Satan jumps in. I was so struck by the mental warfare that I was going through. As I was walking in my own mind, I'm thinking, I don't really even care if I make it to the top. Why am I even here? I hate the cold. It is so cold. I mean, if we just, let's go back to the trees. That was fun. That's where we were having, laughing and having a good time. The trees are better. Girls, let's go back to the trees. I mean, it was just amazing when the despair, the discouragement, when I lost hope, how quickly and simply that was, that it happened just because of one guy.
And, you know, that picture, too, of you guys stopping, because for good reason, you've been blown around by the storm, wondering, because you can't see an end in sight, how often we quit too soon. And you do, as you say, need someone to say, no, I've been down this road. A breakthrough is just around the bend. And we like the trees. We like the sunshine. And I think we're shocked when we encounter times in marriage where the winds are blowing and our face is getting slapped with the sleet. I didn't sign up for this, is what you often hear us say. But Jesus did say, you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but you will overcome. You can be of good cheer. So this is a good reason for hope. And Greg, your story doesn't end here, though, does it?
No. You know, when we were at the very top, now, you know, we celebrated. It was so fun, too. I mean, there were so many people that we passed and who would pass us, and we sort of like this big cohort who summited. It took us about 4 hours, and it was so shocking to me, the reminder again of the power also. I mean, hope is great. The power, though, of community as well. You know, here we had people, I had never met them before, and we're exchanging, where are you from? Hey, I'm from here. And hey, keep going. You're going to do it. And pat each other on the back. We get to the top. Man, we're all hugging and embracing and high-fiving. And I'm just laughing because I'm like, I'm just going, I don't even know you, and I'm hugging you. Come here. Come on in for a hug. Bring it in. And you know, and that's so true that Satan wants us alone. He wants us isolated. He wants us to be battered by the wind and the rain and the sleet and, you know, the exhausted muscles and all that. And yet that was, not only did I get hope, but I had community. I had other people. I had the girls. Because I contrast that with the girls, when they just want to get out of the windy, snowy, sleety part. And so they're way fat. They're like gazelles. You know, I'm like a tortoise going up and down this thing. And so I said, girls, just go. I mean, get to the tree line, you know, hunker in some of the trees. I'll walk by. We'll start walking again. And I hated every moment of that, because now going down was the worst part. It just did such a number on my knees, and I was really hurting big time, and I was alone. And to contrast that with just moments ago, having Murphy, having Taylor, having all these people, you know, keep going, it was absolute misery. And it just, again, solidified that in whatever season you're in, if you're in a sleety, windy, can't see, muscles killing you, knees killing you season in your marriage, you can make it. Okay, we've all been there. There's light. There is a summit. You know, God's there. He's in your corner. I mean, you've got hope, but make sure that you've got a community of who are encouraging you, who are there walking with you, who are there it's not even the advice. You know, I'm sure there was better technique that I could have employed. There were probably smarter ways to clothe myself. You know, there's probably a lot that let me say this. I've learned a lot about how to do that differently, but that will never take away from the power of having hope and having community.
Boy, and I'm thinking about what we were just talking about when you often hear, I didn't sign up for this. But you think back to when we make our vows in sickness and health, you know, rich and poor. Yes, you did. This is what you signed up for, because no marriage is immune from these seasons where we are feeling slapped around by the sleet. But if we think that that's not going to happen to us, and if it is, it's an easy out, we really will never learn the power of true hope, because hope perseveres, doesn't it?
It really does. And you may not feel hope right now. And you may be going, oh, that's a great story, and I'm happy that it worked out, but this has nothing to do with my marriage. I'm telling you, I have heard so many amazing stories. I've lived out. I've lived out seasons. I thought I was one more argument away from my wife leaving me. You know, that was real. Yeah, I was with my wife 9 months pregnant in a parking lot, and we're in an argument, and a woman overhears us and tries to get my wife out of the car thinking that I was abusing her. I mean, that was a terrible season. I mean, you talk about feeling the stinging snow and sleet and wind. I mean, that was that season for me. And I've had plenty of others. And I'm telling you, there's hope. You can do this. It's not easy. It wasn't easy to get to the rest of the way up, that's for sure. You know, but one of the things that stood out, too, is we just kept moving. You know, as I look back, that was a big part of it. You know, instead of just like Murphy tried to do, lay on the trail, you know, we kept moving. And it reminds me of that Philippians 3:13-14, where it says, where Paul's talking, he said, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. That's literally what we're doing, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's it.
That's so powerful.
You keep moving, you keep doing something, even if it was wrong.
You know,
keep making a change, keep trying to get help, keep doing something.
This story, there's so much I think we can draw from it. When you think about, you sent your girls on ahead, you're just being a good dad, trying to, you know, they can move faster, they get to the warmer area. But when you think about the price you paid going it alone,
yeah.
Greg, we do this too. When we're hurting in marriage, we might isolate, we might not tell anybody. Now, you don't want to tell everybody and their brother, but there is something to be said about the wisdom of not isolating when you're walking through a tough season of marriage. Because if you're honest with the God-fearing person, they'll be like that guy was to you on the trail. You know, don't give up. There's a breakthrough around the corner. So I'd like for you just to say a word about the dangers of isolating when you're in those seasons of trying to navigate such rough terrain by yourself.
Well, we're so aware of the terrain. So I was very overtly aware of the wind and the sleet and the clouds and the rocks and how high it was. So there's things that we're really aware of in terms of pain, and maybe it's conflict, maybe it's been infidelity, maybe it's been pornography. I don't know. But the part, though, that's covert, that's underneath that we don't see, is the spiritual warfare. The part that Satan's going after your mind, that's I think one of the true toughest battles are the negative beliefs. You've got a sworn enemy that wants you done. He wants to isolate you and go after your mind to convince you that this is too hard. The tree line would be worth it. Go back, you know, find a different hiking buddy. He's playing such havoc, wreaking such havoc on your mind and your thoughts. That's a part of where having that support, not being isolated, people can challenge that. People can help you pray that through. What is God saying in this moment? What is true? Not what you're thinking. I tell you what, man, our brains, they're gnarly. They can talk us into anything. We can rationalize ourselves in and out of anything. And it almost happened to me. I mean, I was so comfortable thinking, I don't really care to get to the top. Who cares, really? I just want to go back. I want it to be warm. Give me some hot chocolate, you know, something. And yet, boy, look what I would have missed out on. And I'm not trying to oversell this analogy to someone who's in marriage crisis trying to say, I know just how you feel. But tell you what, I wouldn't have made it without others, and you're not going to make it either. I would say that's can I say it this way? Maybe this is too extreme, but I think that isolation is going to be a kiss of death.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we can make it through those seasons if we don't have someone. I mean, I by the time I finally caught up to my girls, my knees were shot. And then it was so fun. Murphy goes, hey, Dad, she goes, why don't you just put this knee brace on? I went, I'm sorry, what? What do you have? She goes, I've had a knee brace in my backpack the whole time. I'm like, really? Well, that would have been helpful information. You saw me limping.
Granola bar in my pocket, too.
Seriously. And this extra pair of gloves.
Yeah.
You know, your hands look really cold. But, you know, having that, just even some of the resources that Murphy was able to offer, I mean, that's what people can do. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know how God's going to use someone. You didn't have to be a PhD. Have to be a radio personality for God to give some amazing insight and awareness or a tool or something that's going to get you the next mile. So I got to the next mile, and then other things happened.
Really? I got to hear. I must know. Is it a long story because we have to save it for the other side of the break because I want to know?
I think we need to save
it. Oh, we'll
it.
Save it. Okay, so the one thing I'll say before this break is, you know, you and I have talked about this before, and it's verifiable, but those who hang in there and do it right, where they move towards each other, they turn towards each other, they learn, as you say, from their own relationship failings and say, I'm fighting for this marriage, come through so much stronger than those who go, oh, this isn't working for me anymore. I'm going to go try to find a different partner, hoping I'll find a better partner.
Right.
And the marital happiness and even passion in marriage is so much higher for those who survive one of these seasons. And just like you and Murphy and Taylor have, you were, you know, a tight family, but that memory knit your hearts together in a way that, you know, nothing else ever could, didn't it?
I never will forget it.
Yeah.
I keep telling the girls, and I wrote them both, you know, a long text just saying to them that is one of the highlights of my life.
Wow.
As a dad, just being able to do that with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't. And when you do persevere, you know, what's cool is that even what you said is not based on man's knowledge or our assumptions. It's based on what he says in the word.
That's right.
That he promises when we go through these trials, he's going to give us something.
He will.
We're going to be
indeed
better off.
Oh, I love it. And there's more to the story. Are you surprised? More to Greg Smalley's story. Shocker. 877-933-2484. More with Greg in just a moment.
How do you know when to let go of a non-Christian friend because they're tearing you down?
Wow, we'll tackle that question. That's a great question. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. And he just emailed me the picture. He's been telling this story of he climbing this mountain with his two daughters. And if you just tuned in, you've got to go back and catch it. But the picture, Greg, is so darling. Your daughters are so beautiful and so sweet. But what strikes me is they're fully geared for this, and you're not. I don't get it.
I thought this was going to be easy. It's in August. I thought it was going to be nice weather.
Okay, all righty then. So there's more to the story, though. I want to hear the rest of it. So you're coming down, and Murphy gives you the knee brace. And
so we've got the knee brace on, so now we're cranking again. So now we get into the tree line again. So now it's gorgeous, and we're protected from the elements, and now it's no longer raining or sleeting. And so, you know, once again, we're the end is sort of in sight in theory. You know, we've passed all this before, and now we're laughing again, and we're having conversations about what we just went through, and the girls even saying, here's what I learned, and here was my takeaway. And so even as we're coming down, I think that's another important part of when we go through something is to begin to try to treasure hunt it. Mm. And we're mining for what is God through his promise. You know, think about how many verses. I love 1 Peter 5:10. It says, and after you have suffered a little while, and I have a new meaning of that, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He takes care of us, and he's teaching us. What has he taught us? What have we learned? How have we benefited? And it was really cool to hear Murphy to say, I was willing to give up, and I was done in, you know, just getting up, persevering, getting to the top. She goes, feels like such an accomplishment. She goes, literally, when I face something, I'm going to think of Mount Elbert and just being at the top. And you know, even Taylor talking about, you know, I was mad at you, and now I see how to handle that a little differently in the face of a crisis moment, and just whatever. I mean, just some really cool learnings. Well, we're getting pretty close to the end, and so I was now, we're further down in the tree line, so it was a little bit warmer, and so I want to strip off this kind of rain jacket thing that I had. Well, I was so excited that we're getting close that I went ahead and took my keys out of my backpack, put it in my pocket, like, I'm ready. I just want the car. I just want to sit down. And so I strip off my sweatshirt, and those all go flying out, unbeknownst to me.
Whoa.
So my phone goes flying. My keys go flying.
I did not see this coming.
So luckily, someone behind us saw them and grabbed them and caught up quickly because I was going so slow and said, hey, are these yours by chance? And the girls just looked at me like, you've got to be kidding me, Dad. You know, we're going to kill you. We would have been without any way to get in the car.
Oh, my goodness.
And we couldn't have called anybody. And
it's one of those stories that ends happily ever after and then not again.
Exactly. I thought we were done. We made it back to the car 4 hours later. Mm-hmm. So we summited in four, and we got down in four, and
went out for pizza.
I tell you, but what's that?
Did you go out for pizza after that?
I don't recall much for the next couple hours after we were done.
It's all a blur.
My body was in such trauma that I can't remember much. We actually went home and celebrated Murphy. We got a meal she wanted and some cake and had a great time. But I tell you, again, the power of hope just was – I mean, I think for me that was – the two lessons for me was – When we see a verse and hear a verse like Romans 15:13, Susie, you read, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you may abound in hope, that you may have hope to its fullest, that you may be rich in hope. You know, that's good, and I've seen that before. It sounds right, but to experience it firsthand in that moment that got me through, it made me realize the opportunity that we have as believers, as we have the opportunities we have as friends to provide that for one another.
You know, just as you're reading that again, Greg, it's like my heart just did a pitter-patter, because that is a promise from Scripture. And two things stand out to me as I'm listening to your story. One is, if you've given up hope, read that passage again and ask God, give me a Holy Spirit gift of hope. But two, remember Greg's story, because you still did the hard thing. You still kept putting one foot in front of the other. And something else that stands out to me, that I kind of teased you about the picture. We're going to put it up on our website. It's just so adorable. You're going to just love his daughters. They're so cute. But to see them all in their gear and well, you and your shorts, but
my lack of gear.
No, but I mean, just, and I'm, I hope I don't. Well, anyway, you said at the beginning you thought it was going to be easy. And people say that sometimes going into marriage. I thought this was going to be easy. Now, looking back, you said you'd do it different. You maybe call and find out the weather conditions. You'd go at it a little bit different. And I feel like this is why Focus on the Family exists, why you worked so passionately, you and Aaron, towards marriage and family, is because there are things that you can actually teach so that you can summit and it doesn't kill you, you know? And so I would just love for you to make that connection, because you and I, when we co-hosted Everyday Relationships, one of the things you were so passionate about is to say, you know, you can love each other, but there are actually relationship skills that will make things go so different, you know?
It's true. And that's why one of those skills is community. And maybe we've never thought of a skill, community, to be a skill, but I tell you, it is. And that was the other thing that sustained me. Hope pushed me forward. Community is what sustained me really every step of the way, up and back, down. And you can, you know, it's being able to ask the people that you're reaching out to and telling your story and saying, this is where we're at. We're struggling here. You know, God will use them to speak truth. And people will say, well, when we were in that same spot that you are, this is what we did. You know, when you go to a Focus, maybe read one of our articles, you know, that you'll get some of those skills even along the journey. Like, I needed the knee brace. I'm telling you, I don't think I would have made it back down. My knee hurts so bad. And I'm thinking, can I really ask my daughters to carry me? I'm sure they would have. and the cutest thing, I mean, this was hard for me. I got to tell you, as a man, as a dad, this was hard for me. Because I got to a place, my knee hurt so bad, even with the knee brace, that my girls would have to walk in front of me. I was just leaning on them. So every step down, I just would have to lean. It was so different, because I've been their strength, and I've been who they've leaned on. And Murphy even went, Dad, give me your backpack. I'm like, honey, I can't give you my backpack. She's like, why? And I said, because I'm full of pride. Mm-hmm. And to have my 17-year-old take my backpack makes me look stupid and weak. And I, as I said it out loud, I went, and that's not what I need to be doing. And here you go, honey. Wow. And she carried my backpack with her backpack. And it was humbling. And that's okay. And along the journey, when we're trying to come back from a bad place in our marriage, to tell that story is humbling.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to admit that, you know what, I don't have it in me. I've screwed up. I've failed. I'm tired. Can you carry this for me?
But
that's what God's created. Why aren't we tapping into community?
That is so good. And even just your willingness to humble yourself was one of the contributing factors to you getting all the way back to the bottom again. And so sometimes we think it will kill us to humble ourselves, to admit our need, to let the other carry, you know, the backpack. I mean, I just think that, honestly, Greg, I almost feel like this could be your next book. You could use this story seriously as an analogy, because there's so much there. But I mean, that right there could be the defining factor. Someone quits or someone keeps going to say, I am feeling weak right now. Would you help carry this load? I mean, that was a factor in you getting back down, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's the beauty. I mean, when God says that in our weakness, He is strong. I mean, that's a promise. But literally in that moment, I needed someone to carry that backpack. I needed to have that off my body and just try to use every strength, you know, to get down.
And who better than your strong-willed daughter? I'm just saying. I love that girl.
Seriously. And that we now are even for her laying on the trail, saying she's not going anywhere.
And she will probably never let you forget that she carried your backpack. This is so good, Greg. These hours go by so fast, but I appreciate you sharing that story. And I pray that if you're listening today and you're in that place where you feel like the winds are blowing, that you have hope. You have reason for hope. Greg, would you pray for that couple listening who maybe has lost hope?
I would love to. God, the God of hope, Lord, my prayers, you feel that person right now with all your joy, with all your peace as they believe in you, so that through your power, through your Holy Spirit, that they may today, right now, abound, be full, be rich in hope, to keep persevering. Lord, bring the right people into their life to help carry the backpack, to help encourage, to give them hope. We've been there. Lord, you can provide that. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that we'll gain through these experiences, Lord. So we trust in you completely. You're gonna provide that hope, and you're gonna provide those people. So God, we just thank you for what you're gonna do in this time of marriage difficulty.
Amen. Dr. Greg, you're a great friend to Faith Radio. We appreciate your time today.
Always my pleasure.
So we'll meet you back here in a week or two, I think.
I think we're going to Japan next, so we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Or three. God bless you. God bless
you. They have mountains there, too.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website, myfaithradio.com. If you've got a friend who needs this encouragement, send it out. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Finally, I'll leave you with this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.